6:20 on a Tuesday evening, just ahead of the 4th of July holiday. Michigan's business community not wasting any time responding to the Supreme Court ruling on the health care law last week. The small business leaders in DeWitt, along with the Stop the HIT Coalition, holding a roundtable the following day. HIT stands for the Health Insurance Tax, and Charlie Owens, State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business, joins me now to tell me why it's a problem. Charlie, thanks for joining us once again on WILS.
Good evening, Michael.
You know, the curious thing is that this isn't a tax on businesses, but a health insurance company tax, which these companies are already enormously profitable and may even be more so after the law takes full effect. Why is the business community reacting so immediately?
Well, as you pointed out, this isn't a tax directly on small business. The problem, though, is the last time we looked, these were not benevolent institutions. They're going to pass on the cost of this tax to their customers. This is a particular problem for small businesses because the health insurance companies that are impacted by the tax are in the private market, and that's where 87% of small businesses obtain their health insurance. So we're pretty singled out on this particular tax. A lot of big companies self-insure, and self-insured plans are not going to have to pay this tax.
I mean, isn't the healthcare exchange, though, going to give businesses and individuals exactly the kind of options that will keep costs low, specifically that if an insurer jacks up the prices, the choice to go to another insurer would be basically just a click away?
Well, it would be if there were a lot of competition in the exchange. One of the challenges is that the term exchange is very misleading. When people think of an exchange, they think exactly what you described, kind of like a Travelocity or a place where they could go and get a lot of different choices and a lot of different prices. What the exchange really is it's a bureaucratic mechanism to enforce the mandates, tax credits, and requirements of the new health insurance law. Part of that is a place where individuals are supposed to be able to do what you suggested. The challenge is that when you get down to full implementation of the law, we're not sure that there's really going to be as many choices as one might believe. For example, there are a number of smaller health insurance companies that have already said that they're done. They've withdrawn from the health insurance market. Many of them have other lines of insurance. And it's just the complexity of trying to comply with the law and the mandates. And so my concern is you'll go to the exchange and there'll be maybe Aetna, Blue Cross Blue Shield, two or three other companies.
But that's not
a real competitive market.
But won't all available insurance companies that are in business and offering insurance, won't they all be on the exchange? Is that not the case?
Not necessarily. They have to meet certain criteria to be on the exchange. Some companies will be able to meet that, some will not. Keep in mind that there is also the essential benefits part of the law is a minimum requirement of what kind of coverage qualifies to be on the exchange and, frankly, qualifies to meet the Act. So that hasn't been determined yet. That's still something that's being worked on. Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of insurance companies that are not even sure what that's going to be.
What do you say to those who view this as the cost of expanding health care, that money for the Medicaid expansion and increasing coverage in general needs to come from somewhere, and the insurance companies and businesses, even individuals, all need to now contribute?
The problem is that they want to socialize the benefits of this law, but not the costs. And what you've just described is a perfect example. So small businesses who are, as a group, can least afford health insurance are being singled out with this tax to support the health insurance plan for other people. And if you're going to have socialized medicine, stop trying to hide the cost with taxes like this, where the illusion is those big, rich health insurance companies are going to pay the tax so I don't have to, when in reality they're going to pass it through. It's no different than the medical device tax, Michael, which is one where they're taxing medical devices such as pacemakers and artificial hips, et cetera. They're taxing the manufacturers of those in order to pay for the health care plan. Well, they're going to pass that cost on through with the cost of those devices, which ends up costing everybody more in the long run. So hidden taxes are a little dishonest.
Are you saying there is no limit whatsoever to these insurance companies passing this tax along?
No. Now, they may have some premium caps and things of that nature, and I think that in the law there is some sections that say that the profit margin of an insurance company can only be X, or they can only spend this much related to health insurance costs, as opposed to, and there's an amount on a cap on what the overhead can be, which is, by the way, one of the reasons why a lot of insurance companies are simply withdrawn from the market.
Now, they're talking about tens of billions of dollars, over $87 billion in assessments between 2014 and 2019. I mean, it sounds like a big part of the law and funding the costs of this expanded health care insurance. How could that realistically be pulled out of the financing end of this law and everything would essentially still function without it?
Well, it's the same thing with the medical device tax, which off the top of my head raises $12 billion. You're absolutely correct. If these are revenue streams that the law is depending upon, let's just say Congress heeded our pleas and eliminated the health insurance tax, if that's baked into the cost of the plan, and we're going to be $87 billion short. So it's going to have to come from somewhere. But that's the point that I'm trying to make. The somewhere should be everybody that's in the system, not singling out one particular group like small business and saying, here, you foot the bill for this socialized medicine so that other people can get the socialized benefits, but you're going to pay the majority of the tax. Big businesses with self-insured plans, a lot of labor unions with self-insured plans, we're not going to ask them to pay.
Now, you are the state director of the National Federation of Independent Business, which was the plaintiff in this case, in this health insurance law case or health care law case. So I would like to get your reaction to last week's ruling. Specifically, what would you like to say to Chief Justice Roberts, who some say was even a traitor to conservatives for voting with the more liberal judges, justices in this ruling?
Well, We're obviously disappointed in the ruling. We think that the court has erred, and you know it would not be very productive to vent anger at any particular justice or the Supreme Court in general. This is not the first time that the Supreme Court has made a decision that many have questioned is whether it's constitutional or not. We're simply going to go on to our next option, which is to try and change or repeal this law in Congress. And, of course, that points us to the November elections.
Well, it sounds like it potentially if President Obama is reelected, we could just have another stalemate on this. Do you think that really a lot is going to shift on the law before 2014, or at this point is most of it in place already?
Well, actually a lot can change because one of the things about this law is a lot of the benefits begin to take place early, but the taxpayers don't get the bill until 2014, which is, of course, after the election. So, and a lot of the other taxes, including the health insurance, the HIT tax that you mentioned and others, and the individual penalty for people that don't buy health insurance as they're supposed to, a lot of that all happens in 2014. So obviously, if people begin to focus on those negative aspects of the law, and if we, depending on how the elections come out in November, you could see anything from a full-blown repeal and start over to modifications, trying to work with the law as it is, but make changes to try and address some of the problems that us and others have pointed out.
Charlie Owens, State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
My pleasure, Michael.
We'll be right back to talk about MSU's Facility for Rare Isotope Beams. You've heard of it, but do you know what actually happens or what will be happening in there? Well, we'll try to figure that out next. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to more compelling talk, Radio 1320 WILS.